I have found over the years that Christians have concluded that there are things all Christians shouldn't do. Some will say that you shouldn't attend the movie cinemas because Hollywood is evil and anti-Christian. Or if there are more than one movie going on at a time and someone was to see you come out of the movie theater, they may think that you saw the bad one. Some Christians believe you shouldn't wear makeup. Others would say men shouldn't wear jewelry. Women shouldn't pierce their ears, and you shouldn't have tattoos. There are even some Christians who believe that it is wrong for Christians to gamble. And they will use verses to back it up, like 1 Timothy 6, 9 and 10. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown man in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. 1 Timothy 3:3, not given to wine, not violent, not greedy for money. Or Philippians 4:11, not that I speak in regards to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am in to be content. Are these verses teaching us that we shouldn't gamble? This morning I am going to show you that Jesus teaches us that it is okay to gamble. Mark chapter 8, verses 34 through 38. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with his holy angels." Last week we saw that Jesus was teaching his disciples without the crowd being present. The question that Jesus asked was, "Who do men say that I am?" And then he turns to the disciples and he asks them directly, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter answered the second question correctly by saying, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, you're God. But when Jesus started teaching them how he must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes and be killed, after 3 days rising again, Peter took him aside and started to rebuke him. What Peter was doing was accepting his person and rejecting his plan. In the first instance, Peter's thoughts were in line with God, and in the second, his thoughts were in line with the devil. And the conclusion was, you are either for him or you are against him. What we see here is Jesus starts teaching the crowd once again alongside his disciples. Look, if you will, at verse 34. When he had called the people to himself with his disciples also, he said to them, "Whoever desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." What Jesus is saying when he says, "Whoever desires to come after me," what he is saying is, if you desire to be my disciple, and the disciples just heard his teachings in regards to his coming judgment, to his coming death and resurrection, the only thing they may not have heard or understood to this point is the means of his death, how he was going to die. But here, he says he is going to die by the cross. This teaching of taking up the cross isn't a new teaching to the majority of Christians in our day. The problem is that it is definitely misunderstood or excused as meaning something less offensive. To take up the cross meant to be crucified, to die in the most painful and shameful manner. The cross was the most cruel and gruesome means of death in its day. To be a follower of Jesus means to be a disciple of Jesus. Listen to Jesus' teaching concerning being his follower, his disciple. Luke 14:26 and 27. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Luke 14:13. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now the question that must be asked at this point is the death here literal or figurative? Is he making this statement and expecting the response to be literal or figurative? And the answer is both. We know that all the disciples who later became apostles went to their death except for John. We also know that many Christians within the first 300 years of Christianity died a martyr's death. There are millions and millions of people, Christians, who have died in the last century for the name of Christ. But taking up the cross means more than just dying physically. It means dying metaphorically. Look again at verse 34. Let him deny himself. The word deny himself means to renounce himself. He must give up all claims to himself. We just read Luke 14:26. He must hate his own life also. Of course, it doesn't mean to start cutting yourself. It doesn't mean to start hurting yourself. We were just, one of the boys, someone told them of a thing that is a practice of the Muslim faith, and they'll take a sword and slap the back of their back with the edge of the sword, and it just rips your back wide open. Unbelievable. And we have seen other religions that do the same thing. They have to roll along a sidewalk for miles or on their knees upstairs. And actually, Martin Luther was one who thought that they had to appease God by causing torment to themselves. But this isn't what it means to hate one's life. It's not what it means to hate your mother, your father, your brother, your sister more than him. What it means is you must love God that much more. But it's not in a manner of hurting yourself. And in verse 33 of that same chapter, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. What Jesus is saying is you must put him before yourself. The same thing is said in the epistles, Romans 12:1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A sacrifice to God because of what he already did. When you look at Romans chapters 1 through 11, it talks about the grace of God in spite of who we are. In response to that, it is just reasonable service. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. In some cultures, if you saved someone's life, they would end up being your servant for the rest of theirs. Jesus breaks this down in the following verses. Look, if you will, at verse 35. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. We must remember what Jesus said in verse 34 in regards to the meaning of denying yourself. Denying yourself means that you must give up claim of yourself. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 says this, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What Jesus is saying is, if you decide to follow me, you must understand and agree that you are no longer going to serve yourself, but me. If we are going to become followers of Jesus Christ, we have to get rid of the number one sin, and that is the service of self. You know, the first sin ever committed was the sin of selfishness and pride. What sin was that, and where was it? Actually, it was in heaven. Isaiah 14:12-14, and this is God speaking. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. how you are cut down to the ground. You who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the mount of congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the cloud. I will be like the Most High. The second sin was the same, and we saw that in the Garden of Eden. And every sin thereafter was always the same. 1 John 2:16, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Sin is always a matter of putting yourself before God. So many people today think they can accept Jesus as their Savior and continue to live for themselves. And this is exactly what Jesus is teaching against in this passage. You may be thinking that you do things for others and therefore everything that you do isn't necessarily sin. And there may be some truth to that. But Jesus isn't only telling us that we must die to ourselves. He is also telling us that we must live for Him and for others. Look again at verse 35. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's sake will save it. I really love what Jesus is saying here. This is what he's really saying is this is the meat of the gospel. This is what it is to be a Christian. We are to die to self and live for Christ and others. Are we losing our life in Christ? In other words, do we find our purpose in life to live for Christ? And do we understand that Jesus left us here to spread the gospel? I've said before that the gospel means so much more than just evangelism. Sharing the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that is a big part of it, but there is more. I have said before that the gospel means that we are to fulfill the Great Commission. And the Great Commission is sharing the means of salvation to man, but it is also after sharing that gospel to bring them up understanding what life is all about. What is the purpose-driven life? It is the service for Christ. Is what you are doing for others incorporating the gospel? Or is it just doing something nice? Are we visiting nursing homes with the gospel, sharing the gospel? Or are we just visiting nursing homes? Are we feeding the hungry while sharing the good news? Or are we just feeding the hungry? Are we going through our daily routine with our family, with the Lord in mind? Or are we just going through our daily routine? Is what we are doing each and every day done with Christ in mind? Does Christ come into the picture at all? Living for Christ and others for the sake of the gospel is hard work. It's sacrificial work. The sad truth of the matter is most who call themselves Christians are consumed too much with self. Verse 36, for what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? You know, this verse reminds me of the passage in Luke chapter 12, verses 16 through 21. Then he spoke a parable to them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do since I have no room to store my crops? So he said, I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods, and I will share or say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, fool, this night your soul will be required of you. And whose will those things be which you have provided? So is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Some may think they are not rich, but the truth of the matter is we are so much richer than the rest of the world. We may not have or be rich in the eyes of the world, in our own country, I should say, but we spend so much money on things. We spend so much on gas. Do you budget your money for gas? We just drive from place to place, not even giving it any thought. Entertainment like movies, cable, televisions, and most homes have more than two or three televisions in a home. Internet, gaming systems, more than one phone, landline, cell phones, stylish clothing, jewelry, junk food, bigger houses than we need, nicer cars than we need, and the list goes on. We put money away for retirement when a lot of people are concerned whether or not they have enough money to make it through the rest of the day. We are rich, and most who call themselves Christians are more concerned about things than they are about Christ and others. Look, if you will, at verse 37. Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? If you had to purchase your salvation, what would you give? How valuable is your eternal soul? How much would you give to escape the flames of hell and enter into heaven? I have heard of rich people who said that they would give all that they had if they could only have their health. We saw the lady in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 and 26, who had the flow of blood for 12 years, who spent all that she had so that she could be made well. And yet, she was not made well until the Lord did so. The rich man in Luke 16, who was rich, begged for someone to warn his brothers of the torment of hell. What would you give in exchange for your soul? Even if you acquired the whole world, it still wouldn't be enough to purchase your salvation. And that is the point Jesus is making. Gaining great riches in this life will not satisfy the next, and it cannot buy your way into the next either. The only way one can become a follower of Jesus, his disciple, is if he or she chooses to deny him or herself and take up their cross and follow him. Luke records this same teaching in chapter 9, verse 23. Now listen to the difference. See if you can pick this out. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Did you catch the difference? There isn't much in the words, but it's very important that we catch one word. And the word is daily. You don't just accept Jesus by denying yourself once, but continuously. Being a follower of Jesus Christ isn't a Sunday thing. It's an everyday thing. Look, if you will, at verse 38. For whoever is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him the Son of Man also will be ashamed when he comes into the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Listen to what J. Vernon McGee says about these verses. He is not putting down a condition of salvation, but stating the position of those who are saved. We cannot buy our way into heaven, and we cannot earn our way into heaven. The only way into heaven is based on our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and him only. Here is what I find interesting about this verse. Verse 35 said this, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Now listen to verse 38. Jesus said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my word, same thing, I will be ashamed of him. It's just flipped. What Jesus is saying in these verses is, if you are not living for me, it is because you are ashamed of me. Did you hear that? If you are not living for me, it's because you are ashamed of me. Matthew 7:21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. So many people are proud of their accomplishments, their children, their jobs, their sports teams. And we know this because they'll always speak of that which they are proud of. Matthew 6:21 says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What you value, you will invest in. What you are proud of, you will speak of. What does this have to do with gambling? Not a thing. No, it has everything to do with gambling. It really does. What Jesus is saying is, I am giving you a royal flush through my death, burial, and resurrection. And all you have to do with your chips is go all in. Go all in. Matthew 13, 44 through 46. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant selling beautiful pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. These two men in these two parables understood the cost, and they went all in. Every person is gambling with their eternal existence. And Jesus is saying, if you want to be my follower, if you want to be my disciple, then you can only do that if you go all in. There is no other way. You cannot accept Jesus Christ and continue in your sin. You must go all in. Let's pray.